Welcome to the DTC podcast.
To, in a way, do your own thing if you choose to.
Welcome to the DTC podcast. This is going to be a little different format than what we've done in the past. I'm Daniel Finley. This is Dr. Tom Brown. And this is going to be a speed round of PE exam tips. So, Dr. Tom, the idea is somebody walking through that door, what are the things they should have done or be prepared to do to be successful on the PE exam? And I'm going to go ahead and maybe a little spoiler alert. I think a lot of these are going to come back to lowering your stress and increasing your confidence. And my goal personally is just to get half the number of tips that you have. So just that's my goal. I'm going to try and keep up with you. Go ahead and kick us off.
Okay, first one, low-hanging fruit issue. You ought to be doing multiple passes, and the first pass ought to be looking for what we refer to as low-hanging fruit. Don't try to work anything hard or anything. Just keep moving, okay? Keep moving. Low-hanging fruit.
Great one. I'm going to get a little more technical on my first one. Government-issued photo ID.
Oh, yes.
If it's expired, they're going to kick you out of the door. So right now, if you're planning to take the exam within the next year, pull your driver's license or state ID or passport out and look and make sure it's not going to expire before you're going to take the exam.
Good point. Good point. And also other things that is in the examinee guide that you're not supposed to have. If you watch the video, you have to kind of empty your pockets and show what you have in them, and you have a locker. So, yes. And the locker ought to have one calculator. One calculator you're going to take into exam and one that's in your locker that works.
I love it. I'm going to build off your calculator one. While you're prepping for the exam, get rid of Excel. Get rid of your higher-powered calculator. Quit using them. Only use your PE exam calculator.
Good
Rotate
point.
Them to make sure the batteries are going to work and the solar and all that's going. But you do not want to miss problems just because you don't know how to use your calculator. So every practice problem through the course, everything you're calculating at work, use your PE-eligible calculator.
Yeah. And you have not in that deal thrown away the instruction manual.
Correct. Keep the instruction manual.
Might take that with you so you can look at it during lunch. You got to do something at lunch. Okay. Well, don't check your cell phone during lunch. Don't do anything at lunch. Don't leave the site. Don't go anywhere. Don't go to the mall, buy a shirt, whatever. Don't just stay right there.
I love that one because it's so easy to get triggered by a text message or an email, whether it's personal or for work. Tell everyone you know, I'm going to be taking the exam. If you need me for an emergency, call the testing center. They can get in touch with me if it's a true emergency.
Right.
Otherwise,
you're
not going to hear from me until I'm fully through the whole testing process.
Right. And don't plan a single thing after the exam. Before. Have somebody else plan it. The other thing is tell them, don't ask you any questions.
All my brain power is going to this exam.
Yeah. You do not want to be asked a question after you do this. Been there, done that, as they say.
I'm going to touch on one more of not leaving. So we mostly focused on the cell phone use there. The no leaving means you need to bring your lunch. You need to take your break.
Yes.
You can take the break, but bring your food. You don't want to be in a situation where you're stressed about whether the food's going to arrive on time or you're going to leave there on time and lose time on the second portion of the exam. So bring your lunch. And you don't want to be driving, none of that stuff. So stay calm, stay stress-free, stay in the parking lot of the campus.
And stay within that time frame for the lunch. If you go over, that time goes against you.
Mm-hmm.
That little clock on that computer, which you will come to hate because it's dialing down, if it goes past that allotted time, it starts going against your exam. So whatever time it is, allow for getting back in, doing all the things, your handprint, all those things.
I'm going to step back in time a little bit here. So scheduling the exam is extremely important. Some of these locations are very popular, and it may not be popular because of the PE exam. These testing centers, also people are taking the SAT, the GRE, the LSAT, a whole host of common exams are done at these testing centers, and you may not know what a popular date is. So register early, get it on the books, get it on your calendar, protect that date.
Yes, and schedule it. Take it, especially if this is your first time. Take the exam. Don't get afraid of it. Take it once and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've signed up for the course and all. Set a date. Don't push it unless it's an emergency. Yeah, mm-hmm. Something happens to family, sure. But take the exam. You can't pass the exam unless you register for it and take it.
And I'm gonna add on to that a little bit. Take it the next week. Don't delay. Don't say, I'm going to spend 2 more months studying on top of the course.
Oh, no.
As soon as the class ends, you need to be taking the exam.
Yes. And you're working the problem. This is back to working some of the problems. Let the ones you don't know how to work go. Don't worry about them. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're gone forever. Just put it, but make sure you put an answer down. Don't try to fill in the blank of that. You won't make it. If you look up at the clock and you got 5 minutes and you're trying to figure things out, you won't get them all done. Mm-hmm. Do it. And then there is a method for flagging.
I'm going to build on this one again. Every problem's worth the same.
Yes.
So another way to think about it. So the hard one, the easy one, get the easy one. Don't struggle with the hard one.
That's the low-hanging fruit
back there. I'm just reframing it so that I get an extra point.
That's not my term, but it's somebody. But it's perfect for that. You're right. Every one of the problems is equal, and that you can't let those be the last problem and not get to them.
Correct.
You got to do the multiple paths.
I'm gonna build off my earlier one about the schedule and scheduling your exam. Find that location. It may be one in your community. It may be 10 or 15 minutes away. So hopefully you're familiar with that location. But within that our 20-week program, make sure sometime over that time horizon you've driven by that site. And so if it's further away, you may have more planning that goes into it. Maybe it's an hour or 2 hours away. Figure out a time in your review course program that you can get to that location, see exactly where it is, know where the parking lot is, know where the door is, so there's no surprises the day of the exam that you don't know where you're going.
Exactly. You don't want to have to drive 5 or 6 hours and think you're going to get there. No. Or have some other problem that comes up. You might even have somebody take you there. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call a cab or Uber. I don't think I would Uber this one. This is too important for that. But yes, we have lots of folks who have trouble getting to the site, mm-hmm. and they will not wait on you. They will not. If you're due there.
And if it is too far away, get a hotel room.
That may be
the cheapest thing you buy in a very high-value thing that if you're 2-3 hours away or more, if you're not a morning person, it could be a whole host of reasons. Find the nearest hotel and stay the night there. And that way you know you've got a shorter commute. You know exactly where it is. It's going to decrease that stress level. I can't imagine the stress of sitting in traffic, seeing the minutes tick by, and just knowing that your time is running away.
And don't do anything that last day. Just don't even think about it. Don't even look at your books or anything. Just take it easy. And in fact, don't try to learn anything new the last week. Mm-hmm. This is all just sort of letting yourself let it settle in. You might take a practice exam. We got practice exams built into our course, and you can take those all together in an exam format using the calculator that you've become. Yeah, if you don't have the right calculator, I've seen people fail the exam because somebody didn't notice it at first, took the first half, and then they went, what is this calculator? Uh-oh. And they got thrown out of the exam, and they had to take it again. So be careful. There's an examinee guide. It's 18, 19 pages. Got everything you want to know in it. You got to read it to know what to bring, the do's and don'ts, the things that question, a lot of questions about what you can bring in terms of a sweater or this or that. They've got YouTube videos. They've got all these other things. So make sure you've read that. That comes out in November every year. The new version comes out. And so be sure you know all those do's and don'ts.
And I can't miss adding on to your point about no studying the day before the exam. It's too late at that point. All you're going to do is cause yourself stress. I've never seen anyone who said, I studied the day before and it made me feel less stressed and more confident. It doesn't happen. So the day before the exam, you should be setting multiple alarms. Check that you got your calculator, your driver's license, or government-issued photo ID. Logistics are the only thing you should be doing the day before, maybe even a couple days before, maybe even the whole week before. You've got a process. You need to be confident at that point that you've got the process down. You've got the methods. You know what you're going to do. You know how you're going to attack it. You don't know everything, and that's okay. Yeah, you don't need to know 80. You just need to get 56. Hopefully get a few as a buffer. Yeah. But 56 the minimum that we're headed for there.
Take a deep breath. Sit there. Just take a deep breath and say, okay, here we go. And proceed on. And what you don't do, don't look at the clock. Whatever you do, don't look at the clock.
You've got 8 hours. You can spend 30 seconds just decompress and maybe center yourself to say, I can give up a minute. I've got a plan. I'm going to execute that plan, and it's going to be okay.
Yeah, maybe you've had a list of equations or something that you want to memorize. Mm-hmm. Write those down. Mm-hmm. That's not cheating. You got this thing. You can write them down. write notes to yourself. So, yeah, use that. Don't just jump right in with it. And then the first question, if it's one you don't know how to work, that's okay. That may be one of those ones you're going to leave alone. But the next one, you're going to find a lot of low-hanging fruit. You're going to be surprised.
They're all worth the same number of points.
And they're all worth it. And you're going to find out that you're going to get smarter as the exam goes on. Because as you narrow those problems down, 40 in the first part, typically in 40, you narrow those down, and now you've got like 15 minutes and maybe 8 problems, you'd be surprised how smart you've gotten to just look at that. You don't have any of these to worry about. You just got these right here. You'd be surprised.
I want to touch on the light jacket and being comfortable in the room.
Oh, yes.
I've heard this issue of somebody walking into the room, an examinee, and the light jacket wasn't light enough. I don't know how they're defining it, but you know, the exam staff have the opportunity to say, we're not letting you in with that. And so my recommendation, bring a long sleeve t-shirt, bring a sweater, bring what you consider a light jacket, bring enough where if they say that's not going to work, you can go back out to your vehicle and get a backup. You don't want to be uncomfortable and you cannot work this exam cold for 8 hours.
Yeah,
if you're uncomfortable, make sure you have layers. Basically, the idea is pack in layers, bring layers, so that if you're too hot, too warm, you can make those adjustments. Every exam site is going to be different.
Yeah, glad. Note that you can also, if you read the examinee, you can have, you can have a little straight edge, so you can have one of those. Mm-hmm. The exam now has a line drawing, so make sure you check on that, all those things, those videos, that you have alternate item types. The old was what, A, B, C, D? Mm-hmm. Actually, it was A, B, C, D, E. Mm-hmm. That was probably before your time.
Yeah, yes.
Not before mine. And then they have multiple correct. They've got drag and drop now, mm-hmm. so they can have a figure, a diagram mm-hmm. that you might not have been on another exam. You drag and drop, name it. Even fill in the blank, and I don't know whether spelling counts or I'm not sure.
I hope
spelling doesn't count either. But you know, those are all videos. There's like 5 or 6 of them. One's about 4 minutes, and one of them talks about what you've done, about the identification that you need, and shows the person standing in front of the administrative person going through that part. But then the others are all 30 seconds, 40 seconds, but they're the best 30, 40 seconds you'll ever do, because you'll see what's going on and get the issue. And again, the examinee guide has all that, everything in there about everything that you need. It's the official there.
One thing that has surprised people is I'm used to working on paper and pen or pencil. Most testing centers, that's not what you're going to get. You're going to get a small whiteboard or transparency sheets to work on, and you may get a few of them. You may get a dry erase marker that doesn't work well, a dry eraser that doesn't work well. So just be prepared that it may not be an ideal scenario. And just if you want to incorporate that into your study regimen, buy a small whiteboard, get some transparencies, use those kind of pens or pencils. You may want to call the testing center and ask them what they allow for your scratch paper. That'd be my recommendation, because it's different by the different testing centers. But be prepared for that. Another great tip is if you're looking through your design standards, your references that are on the CBT format, go to the table of contents, and on your whiteboard or transparency, scratch paper, whatever it is, write down the pages that those terms appear on, so that when you're flipping to the pages, you don't have to constantly go back to the table of contents, because you can only have one of those open at a time, so you can't have the table of contents here and then the actual content there. So write those down as a little tip.
Yep.
I've got one more, I think, and that's probably all. I've probably reached the end of my tips, is reference handbook. I know we've hit on this. I know it's very important and maybe obvious, but to be successful when you've walked into that exam, you need to know the reference handbook and those design standards. That's what you're going to have. You're not bringing in your own materials. You need to know that inside and out.
Yes. I would second that.
Okay. Yeah,
to know it. I encourage people to print out the pages that they need from the reference handbook. But everybody's into visual and on the screen and all. But I cannot overemphasize, I think it helps to print it out and see it hard copy. And then you can make notes on it and whatever through the course that you're taking. So that's right. Because this is CBT. The CBT created this reference handbook. And that's where I think we're going to be for foreseeable future.
I agree.
Okay.
I hope this was helpful. I enjoyed the speed round. I hope I kept pace with you through this. And
well, it was lucky I kept pace with you.
Thanks, Dr. Tom.
Thank you, Daniel.
Dr. Tom's Classroom, your best chance to pass the PE.